This episode is brought to you by Google Gemini. With the Gemini app, you can talk live and have a real-time conversation with an AI assistant. It's great for all kinds of things, like if you want to practice for an upcoming interview, ask for advice on things to do in a new city, or brainstorm creative ideas. And by the way, this script was actually read by Gemini. Download the Gemini app for iOS and Android today. Must be 18 plus to use Gemini Live.
This is Matt and Myron, the podcast.
It is Sunday morning here on ESPN Radio. Matt Jones, Myron Metcalf, presented by Progressive Insurance. We're going to get back to your phone calls in a minute. We got people worked up, which is exactly what I like. But with 4 minutes to go, the United States women's team and French women's team in basketball tied in the gold medal game. This is a big game. Obviously, U.S. hasn't lost in 30 years, but also the overall country gold medal count. If the USA wins, they will tie China. And they will win the tiebreaker because they have more medals. If the USA loses, China will win the gold medal ranking for the first time ever. So 4 minutes, Myron, a lot on the line here as we go.
No, there's definitely a lot on the line. Do you know how we ended up in this spot with the gold medal? So yesterday, you know what happened in the long jump?
The high jump, yeah. The high jump, the guy decided not to tie.
Well, okay, so last year a guy did share the medal, and it was like this goodwill moment. And yesterday this guy was like, no, I want to have a jump off. And then he was terrible. Yeah. In the jump off, so people are crushing him.
So he may cost us the gold medal count. We'll see. Tim Kirkjian is here. I want to make sure to get Tim on. He's ESPN's Major League Baseball analyst. Tim, let me ask you this to start with about baseball. And you know, the Olympics in 2028 are going to have baseball after not having it the last two. It feels like in every sport we're seeing the best athletes now play, and it's made the Olympics a lot better. Is there any chance that baseball would realize that that could be huge for baseball to take that break and allow them, or is it just never going to happen?
I don't think it's ever going to happen just because of the timing of it. It's really important to win a gold medal. I think a lot of guys would love to play in the gold medal game, even if it's in August, but their teams are going to say, no, this comes at the worst possible time. We are in a pennant race. We need you at your best for our team. And it's also so easy to get injured playing baseball that they're just not going to let a player get away from the team that's paying him all this money in order to play in the Olympics. So I don't think we're ever going to see it, and I think that's sad, but it sets up so much more beautifully for basketball because August is the off season, whereas baseball August is the pennant race.
Tim, I'm from Milwaukee. I never want to ask like biased questions, but when the Brewers win the World Series, how should I celebrate? Should I throw a party? Should I invite a few friends? Like, how would you celebrate if you were me, Tim?
Well, you've never won the World Series, so you should do every celebration that you can possibly do. I was there covering the 82 World Series when the Brewers
Raleigh Fingers,
games. Huh? It was fantastic. Molitor, Yount, Jim Gantner, Sisson Cooper. What a team that was. Yes, you should celebrate. Now, I'm not telling you that you don't have a chance because this is baseball. The ultimate beauty of this sport is the Brewers can win the World Series. Now, do I think they're going to? No. I don't, but I also didn't think the Diamondbacks were going to make the playoffs last year, and they went to the World Series. So all sorts of things can happen in baseball, especially in October. So keep pulling for the Brewers. Anything is possible.
You know, Tim, I probably followed, especially early in the year, baseball more this year than any because I was really excited about my Reds, and I thought they had a shot to contend, and it really hadn't gone for them. But what I have noticed in following it so much is it feels to me as wide open as I can ever remember it in terms of I know that there are a handful of teams that are better than the others, but the wild card races are wild. And it just feels like to me that this could be the most open and fun playoffs in a long time. For people who know baseball better than I, do you agree with that?
I do. The wild cards are wide open, which is playoff teams per league, and three of them are going to be wild cards, and you're all good with that. What has also happened is the Phillies, say, a month ago, looked like the clear best team in the National League. And now things have changed there. At times, the Dodgers look like the clear best team in the National League, and that has changed. The Yankees, at one point, were the clear best team in the American League. Now there's so little that is clear in either league, and that's what makes it so interesting. We're going to get to the playoffs, and 10 teams out of 12 you're going to look at and say they can win the World Series with this team, where it doesn't work that way in basketball. You know, back when I used to love the Washington Wizards, they'd be the last team in the playoffs, and they would have to open at Chicago against Jordan's Bulls in the playoffs. They had zero chance to win that series, zero. But in baseball, everyone has a chance now, and this year perhaps more than ever.
Tim, I believe the White Sox last won the AL Central 2021, not that long ago. How do we get to this epic collapse that we have witnessed from this team this year?
Yeah, well, it was poor management starting from the top. And then, you know, the players just got hurt and their defense has been terrible. And it's the worst offense in the league. And, you know, I take no joy in saying these things, fellas, because this is not good for the sport, for the industry, that there is a team that has lost 24 of the last 25 games. No team has ever gone 1-24 during any 25-game stretch ever. So now this is where the White Sox have to recognize where they are, and more significant changes have to happen. They have to rebuild this team completely. That means trade the rest of their marketable players, whether it's Luis Robert Jr. or Garrett Crochet. And I'm still surprised they didn't trade one or both.
Why didn't they do that, Tim? Why didn't they trade
them? Well, I don't understand. I think they should have, but their thinking was, and they know this better than you and me, is that we're going to get more for Crochet after the season. We're going to get more for Luis Robert after the season. We'll see about that. But if they're ever – they're going to get better someday. But the only way it's going to happen is with a complete rebuild, start all over, and hope the young guys they acquire start to put things together quicker rather than slower.
This was a big announcement here, and I'll let you out with this one. I don't know how much attention it got nationwide, but the Reds and the Braves are going to play at Bristol Motor Speedway next year for a game in the middle of the infield. I don't know what their plan is, but that place holds 120,000 people, so I don't know how many tickets they're thinking about selling. I think it's a cool idea. I think when they do things like this to try to spice it up, I enjoy it. They pick the perfect two teams because they have big fan bases there. Do you like the idea? And are we going to see more of this kind of stuff where they just sort of find these unique environments for games?
Well, I'm 67 years old, and I'm an old school guy all the way. However, I have seen games played in Puerto Rico and in Williamsport and in Fort Bragg and in Cuba. And I also know that Murray Cook, who runs the – and I've been to England the last 2 years – who runs the installation of the field, that field is going to be immaculate when it's done. So there's no chance that it's going to be a substandard playing surface or a substandard environment, because the Players Association is just not going to allow that to happen. So I have a buddy of mine who's a big race fan, and I talked to him yesterday, and he thinks it's the coolest thing ever, and he thinks 96,000 was the number he quoted. We'll watch that game. And if 96,000 people are going to watch a major league game, I think that's a good thing.
I will tell you, the state I'm in is all – it's half Reds, half Braves. And every single person I know, Tim, is saying they want to go to that, because, like, it's the perfect fan bases, and then Bristol kind of has in the mountains. It's got, like, a whole mystique. Tim, I think they'll get 100,000 people. I really do.
I think it's a great idea, and the more baseball can branch out and try to connect with other fans in other sports, that's a good thing for the game.
Yeah. Well, Tim Kirchen, great stuff. I appreciate it. And old school or not, you're the best. Thank you very much for your time.
All right. Thank you, fellas. See
you. Appreciate it. You can tune into baseball action tonight. The Mariners host the Mets. That traditional Mariners-Mets rivalry. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and 7 on ESPN. America leads France 60-59, 1.5 minutes to go. USA's got the ball. We'll let you know what happens next here on Sunday morning on ESPN Radio.
This weekend on Sunday Night Baseball, two teams in a hunt for October go head-to-head in Seattle.
Pete Alonso, absolutely destroyed it.
Pete Alonso and the New York Mets face Cal Raleigh and the Mariners.
Raleigh, it is gone.
Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 Eastern, with first pitch at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN. Matt and Myron, the podcast.
As the number and severity of third-party breaches continue to rise, companies are increasingly vigilant, not just about how they handle their own data, but how their vendors do as well. For security and compliance leaders, this means more security reviews are coming across your desk every day, and valuable time is being wasted on manual security reviews. With Vanta Questionnaire Automation, security and compliance teams can complete security reviews up to 5 times faster, giving you time back to focus on running your security and compliance programs. Over 8,000 global companies like ZoomInfo, Smart Recruiters, and Noibu use Vanta to save time on security reviews. Visit Vanta.com/podcast to learn more about questionnaire automation. That's VANTA.com/podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. Don't. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
It's Sunday morning. Yeah. That's right. With Matt and Myron. We're getting on, presented by Progressive Insurance. I was feeling the beat, Myron. I'm not lying to you. I was just, boom. What do you mean, no?
You always act like I don't have rhythm.
It offends me that you assume, because I'm from Kentucky, that I don't know how to dance.
No, every 3 months on the show, you have one of these like real white moments.
That's not a white moment. Like, I was going. That's not white. Actually, that's me being cool.
Yeah, that actually doesn't get whiter than what you just did. As a matter of fact, that's actually the definition.
I don't buy that. I think I got sold. Don't act like I don't. The United States is up 4 with 17 seconds to go.
Oh, man.
63-59. France is, I think, run some questionable offense down the stretch. They've ended up like just throwing up heaves every play. So we'll see what they do with this one. But France has a ball down 13. This is the only Olympic gold medal match to be decided by single digits was in 1988. France was a 10-1 underdog. Spread was 15.5, but there's 4-point game with just 17 seconds to go. All right, so Myron, I want to give you the floor. You had some strong thoughts about an Olympic event.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I was the only person actually invested in breakdancing beyond the memes, you know. And let me just start by saying this ray gun person, this Australian breakdancer that has become
you mean my favorite athlete of all time?
See, and I hate what happened, because that was a joke, and that was a spectacle. I knew we were in trouble, Matt, when I read her resume, and it said she had a PhD
PhD in hip hop and cultural studies.
Yeah, which isn't real, right? That, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's an online degree with a dude who is promoting his school at 2 a.m. on an infomercial. Like, that's where you get a PhD in hip hop and cultural studies, right? So I knew that wasn't real. And then, like, that's a mockery of the sport. Like, I don't know what she was doing.
What do you mean? When you say it's a mockery of the sport, you had never seen the sport until this, right?
No, I've seen breakdancing all the time.
But you had not seen a sport of it. You had not seen, like,
seen competitions.
Oh, you have? Okay. All right.
Yeah, 100%. No, this is not that. This was someone who tricked her government into sending her to France for a couple weeks. I admire that part, Matt.
I saw an interview with the director of sport of the Australian IOC, who said, and she was not kidding, she said, whatever her name is, Ray Goon, is the best Australia has to offer in breakdancing and has won multiple competitions, which makes me want to see the Australian competitions to see who lost.
Yeah, because my recommendation is fire everybody if that's the case, right? And just don't send anybody ever again if that's the best you have to offer. So, I mean, that part became a big meme, and, like, she's leaning into it. And she's going to be the biggest breakdancing star in this whole thing.
She should.
And that's the part that bothers me. That bothers me.
Because you think the others are really talented, right?
Oh, there were a lot of really talented people. B-Boy Victor from the United States, although there's a controversy in round one. B-Boy Victor faced this guy named Hiro Ten from Japan. Like, that's his name, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And he did this move, Matt, where he spun on his head for like a minute straight. And it was incredible. And he somehow didn't even score in the event. And B-Boy Victor from the United States moved on. I always want the United States athletes to win. But in that case, there should be an investigation. B-Boy Victor lost that competition.
Had it on for a minute, and I feel like I heard one of them say, you have to call them everybody B-Boy, right? Like, you can't just be like, that's Victor.
James.
He's B-Boy Victor.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, you got, and you don't call them. You notice the cool thing about this was, like, no one was called their government names. Like, if you looked at the competition, there was no one that was like James Johnson. It was always like their name. You know what I mean? Their B-Boy name.
B-Boy Victor.
And the B-Girls, too.
B-Girls.
I mean, they were incredible as well.
So you and I would be like B-Boy Matt and B-Boy Mark, right?
No, we'd have breakdancing names.
Oh, so like, it's not B-Boy.
B-Boy is the general.
Oh, so I'd be like B-Boy, B-Boy like Rock. I'd be like B-Boy Rock Steady.
Something like that.
Why can't I be B-Boy Rock Steady? You paused. I saw your face. You didn't like that as my name.
No, I think, listen, you and Ray Gunn are probably in the same category.
Stop it. I'm better than Ray Gunn. Let me just say this about Ray Gunn. I don't want to make fun of Ray Gunn because, I mean, if you think about Ray Gunn for a second, she's from Australia. She's going to the Olympics. She's got to be excited, right? And then she could have never foreseen that, like, my mom would have asked me about Ray Gunn. You know? Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Did you see that? France hit a shot at the buzzer.
It was a two-pointer, and they're down three.
Oh, it was a two.
Her foot was inside the line. She knows it, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It looks like – but it looks
All right, so people don't know, the USA was up three, and this woman, she takes – oh, she is inside. Wow.
Yeah. Oh,
she hits a shot at – banks in a shot at the buzzer, but it was a two instead of a three. Unbelievable.
What
an ending.
Who would think that we get an even better game – today than we had with the men in the semifinals.
So the USA wins by 1 point. Wow. What an ending. If you didn't see it. What?
She's on the line. I mean,
she was on the line. She's crying.
Yeah, no, it doesn't count. But, I mean, she was wow.
Wow, that's a tough loss for them. That is a tough loss.
That's hard.
If you're not watching this, if you're driving around, you can see it later. They throw the ball. They're up three. They throw the ball – or down three. Throw the ball the length of the court. She catches it and shoots, and her foot is on the line. And they end up losing by 1 point. Wow. What an ending. So the USA wins the gold medal, now ties China for overall gold medals, and will win the tiebreaker because they have the most medals. So the United States, everyone clap, wins the medal count yet again, Myron Metcalf.
Yeah, man. Wins the medal count, wins the gold medal count, which is the only count that matters, right, ultimately?
Well, it seems like whatever we're ahead in is the count that matters. Like, for a while, we were behind in gold medals, so they showed the medal count, and then when we got ahead, it was the gold medal count. So I think it just depends on what we're winning in, really.
Yeah, I mean.
Let's go back, though. I want to go back to Ray Gunn. So she's like, she has to be excited, and she ends up with everybody making fun of her. But part of it's on her. Like, she's wearing one of those 90s jumpsuits, track suits, where it's all the same color. And you know, the thing where while they're breakdancing, the other one is kind of like intimidating them and stuff. She was really bad at that. She was really bad at trying to intimidate. And she lost every round 9-0. She lost a total of 54-0.
Yeah. I just want to say in general, like, I'm not going to be friends with you if you tell me you got a PhD in hip hop and cultural studies, right? Just tell me that you made up a degree, right?
So I knew we had a problem. What would you do if I said, you know what? sports radio, Meyer, and I've kind of had enough. I'm thinking about going to get a PhD in hip hop and rap. Would you support me as my friend?
I would fly to Kentucky and I would hold an intervention with some of your other friends, and we would hold an intervention, man.
You wouldn't let me do it.
You'd be like, we'd be like, oh, Matt, hey, come to dinner with us. And then you get there, and it wouldn't be dinner.
It'd and it'd be like my whole family and friends. And
yeah, we'd like, all be sitting there, and I'd be like, hey, do you want to start? You know, it'd be one of those.
You'd be like, situations. Matt, will you look in the mirror and listen to your voice? You cannot go in hip hop and cultural study. You just can't.
And I bet Ray Gunn, for sure, throughout the Olympic Village, is just randomly trying to befriend black folks in the village who are like, Who are you? Like, she was like, hey, man, we should get lunch sometime with you. Hey, Kevin Durant. Hey, man, you want to – hey, Simone. Like, she was definitely on her Instagram telling everybody that she was like, black star.
She had headphones on, and she was playing Kendrick Lamar just a little too loud, like not like us. And she was loud.
Yeah. No, she had a speaker, and then she would just probably randomly point to, like, black athletes in the Olympic Village. And, you know, like, naturally somebody points at you, you point back.
Yeah.
And she would take that as a sign.
And then she'd go, my brother. And they'd be like, no. Ray Goon, we got to have a conversation, all right?
She definitely went back to Australia and was like, listen, man, I'm friends with all of them. And they don't have any clue. They have no clue who she is. She is just following people on Instagram, telling people she knows them. But this should not be the one person we're talking about. But it doesn't matter what else happened to breakdancing, because that became
now. Did you think it was
a
like,
lasting?
That'll
image
be what everybody remembers. What happened. Do you think that it's a sport worth returning? Like, did you think it was an Olympic worthy sport?
It needs some work, you know. I mean, but I will say this, Matt. There are a lot of people who were like, "Where are all the great breakdancers?" Like, I remember the '80s, all these great breakdancers. Where's Turbo and Ozone and all these guys? They're 68 years old, people. They're at home taking a nap. This is a different climate, man.
Their names were really Turbo and Ozone? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Breaking, Electric Boogaloo. Go watch the movies.
Yeah.
They're like breakdancing movies.
They teach it in my hip hop and cultural studies PhD that you're not letting
knew,
me go
she
get.
Knew.
You're not letting me go get it. So what am I supposed to do? Coming up, we may have won the medal count, but we have to give some credit to some other folks too, and may have to give one back. We'll deal with that next here on Sunday Morning on ESPN Radio.
Hey, it's your resident Super Bowl champ Chris Kennedy from Unsportsmanlike. Miss any of the show this week? Well, just download the podcast and catch up on a wild week. And make sure to tune in Monday beginning at 6 a.m. Eastern right here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, and ESPNU.
Matt and Myron, the podcast.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The holidays are about spending time with your loved ones and creating magical memories that will last a lifetime. So whether it's family and friends you haven't seen in a while or those who you see all the time, share holiday magic this season with an ice cold Coca-Cola. Copyright 2024, The Coca-Cola Company.
Can I say something controversial, Myron? You mind right now? I really hate this song.
Do you?
I do, yeah. And it's nothing against Lee Greenwood. And, like, I'm patriotic. Like, I love America as much as the next person. I just hate this song. And it's and here's the reason. When I was a kid, you know, you probably had to stand up and do the national anthem, right, or whatever, when you when school started, you know. And at my high school, for reasons I don't understand, they would play the national anthem, and then they'd play that song. And that song's like 6.5 minutes long, right?
Yeah.
And so you just have to stand there and listen to Lee Greenwood like you were listening to the national anthem. And, I mean, I can hear it in my head from the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee. And I hate it. And it's come to the point that when I hear it, it, like, sends, like, shivers down my spine of negativity. And I feel bad about Lee Greenwood. I feel bad to him. I'm apologizing to him. It's not your fault. And then I met Lee Greenwood. And when I met him, I wanted to say to him, listen, man, I can't deal with your song anymore. But I didn't do that, and I just took a picture. But I'm just not a fan of that song, Myron.
That's interesting, man. I like, they made us do the Pledge of Allegiance, and then they played Can't Touch This sometimes. We went to different schools, I think.
They played Can't Touch This, huh?
Yeah. That's what I remember.
Those were different schools, the one I went. 888-SAY-ESPN. We're talking about the Olympics. We're going to talk a little football. Yeah. But, look, the Olympics have been great. We're going to talk about it. What was your favorite sport? Like, not just basketball, track, swimming. Was there a secondary sport you really enjoyed? Myron liked breakdancing. I like the one where the bikes go around in a circle. You know what I'm talking about? The
cycling?
Well, no, I mean, no, I understand it's not cycling. I'm talking about they go around that little thing.
I know, but you described it like an alien would describe it. You were like, you know that thing where they go around in a circle on the...
Well, it has a name. It's, what's the name of it, Nick? It's like called like Peloton.
Why would I know?
Peloton?
I don't know. You're the producer.
Peloton. What is it called?
You're supposed to know these things.
Give me a minute.
But the reason I like it, they have these events. Did you see the event where there were like two bikes and they just stare at each other and decide when to go against each other? I kind of like. I think it was called like Kieran was that event. I enjoyed that.
You know, I didn't realize that the canoe people are on their knees in those canoes. Did you know that?
Yeah, I think you said it last week on this show.
Yeah, I didn't realize they were on their knees in that thing. That was.
Yeah.
That
well, what is yours? 888-SAY-ESPN. Mine is the one where the little bikes go in a circle. But whatever yours is, let us know. Now, the United States ended up with 40 golds, 126 medals. That is tied for first for the most golds with China. But the United States had more medals, so they're going to end up winning. Now, one medal, though, they did lose. Jordan Chiles, who had the bronze after one of the events in gymnastics, they have now decided to the 0.1 score they added to Chiles the day of the event was wrong because her appeal was outside of the one-minute window you're allowed to appeal. The committee has gone back. They said it was a minute and 4 seconds for the appeal, and they have taken the bronze from her and are giving it to someone else. Myron, do you think that is fair?
It's not fair. It's nonsense, man. And, you know, I don't want to pretend to understand everything in the gymnastics world, but I will say the same group that just said she has to give the bronze back, they initially denied the Romanian appeal for this. And then social media happened. There was this backlash. So for me, it feels like the decision makers caved to social media pressure. And I don't like that idea. Here's my thing, Matt. We probably deal with more reviews and mistakes when it comes to officiating in college basketball, to maybe any sport, right?
Yeah.
But to change the outcome, that's where you get into a really gray area. I understand if you go back and say, hey, we made a mistake, but you don't get to take her bronze medal. You have to make that decision in the moment, at the event, not after the event. It's just unfair to Jordan Chiles. And if I'm her, I'm not giving anything back because problem.
Oh, I like this.
Not at all.
You wouldn't give it back? You'd be like, come take it from my dead, cold, dead hands?
That ain't the FBI. Like, they can't make me do it. I'm not giving anything back because in the moment, Matt, you said I won the bronze medal. Whatever happened outside of me is not my problem. If the judges messed that up, if the people didn't catch that the appeal came later, and by the way, the United States committee is saying that that's not what happened. So our committee is saying that the international folks are getting it wrong. But if I'm Jordan Chiles, that medal right now is in a safe somewhere in Omaha, and nobody's getting it.
I love that you're just like, no, and I'm not giving it back. You're like, come get it. Like, I got security.
Who gives back a medal?
Okay, well, I mean, it doesn't happen a lot, but.
All right, so let's go back to 2012. Obviously, Kentucky won that game fairly easily against Kansas. But let's say it was a close game, a buzzer beater, and the NCAA came back a week later and said, you know what? There was a foul at the end of the game that went against Kentucky. Kansas is the national champion. Are y'all giving up that championship?
No, I mean, like, it would be bad. It would be bad, but I just...
You would burn stuff. It'd be worse than bad, Matt. It would be worse than bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, I like it. I like the idea of peaceful protest is what you're saying, basically. Like, Jordan Chiles should not give up the bronze medal. By the way, the sport I was talking about is called cycling omnium. Okay?
And it's called what now?
Well, this is what Nick is telling us. Cycling omnium. It's like you're on a little racetrack. I really enjoyed that. I think that was good.
You got that Peacock premium. That's what that is. Matt got that expensive Peacock.
Yeah, no commercials. I got that
one. You pay $18 a month for yours. That's what it is. Okay.
USA won gold in that.
Yes, USA won gold. They were like,
I don't know if they gave the brothers the right Peacock, because I never saw I had basketball and breakdancing. Maybe I had a different package.
Oh, you think they tailor the experience?
Yeah. I got like all the basketball and breakdancing and some track and field events. Like I don't know if they gave us everything. Like maybe that's what it
was. So you're telling me you didn't get equestrian? Like they didn't put that on yours?
I didn't get any of that. Kayaking, people were talking about folks in a river. I ain't seen no rivers on my Peacock, so I don't know what happened there.
That's nice. They say ESPN. Ty is in Arizona. Go ahead, Ty.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say that my favorite part about the Olympics is all of the look what I can do sports. Like, look how fast I can run, or look how far I can jump, or look how fast I can swim. I love that stuff because it's like it's simple, like on the playground.
Yeah.
And I was wondering what you guys think about, like, when are they going to add the monkey bars, or when are they going to do, like, the competitive teeter-totter? Or maybe like dodgeball. What do you guys think?
Oh, dodgeball. I'd be all in on dodgeball. Like dodgeball we should do. Like that would be cool to watch, man. Will you get a dodgeball?
I'm too tall. Like I'm too big of a target. So, you need like little short, quick people, I think, to be good at dodgeball.
So I was fast when I was young. I was actually great at dodgeball and I had a moot.
How are you great? I'm about to tell you. Okay.
What were you going to say?
I wasn't going to say anything. I just felt like, some square footage, and like I thought it was a little harder for it.
I was very fast as a kid, and I had this move where you'd have the ball, and I would walk up to you about 2 feet away, and people would be like, I'm going to get this guy out and throw it. And I would drop down and duck just as you were throwing the ball, and you would miss me. It was like a known thing on the playground. The move.
What rules did you have where you could walk up 2 feet next to people? The dodgeball I've seen, there's like, it's not how it works.
I'd get to the line. I would go right up to the line. Okay. And people would be ready to like throw it at me. And I would drop down as they were throwing it and I would dodge the ball. It was a known thing on the playground.
Well, it sounds like it. 888 say ESPN. I will say that I agree
with that guy. Square footage.
I mean, I just. You know, as my buddy
I used
would say,
to be quick, man. I'm telling you.
As my buddy would say, sometimes like it looks like you could stop the run, right? Like I don't. I like the events.
I was quick.
I like the events where it is something simple, like just run, just jump. Like there's something very sort of basic and human about the events, especially in track, where it's just like even wrestling, you know, like that was something that's gone back since the start of time. Like you just try to take people down. I do like sort of the visceral nature of some Olympic sports.
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to slow down on adding sports, honestly. I don't know that we got to keep adding sports.
Well, you know, they have four new ones in the next Olympics. It's baseball, softball, flag football, and lacrosse. Are you good with those?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, lacrosse will be fun. You know, the flag football, the thing that people aren't talking about with flag football, NFL players can play in it as of now. Now, I'm not saying a guy will give up training camp and whatever he might miss out on, but, like, somebody's going to try to play with our American team from the NFL.
I'm going to go ahead and say Ocho Cinco's going to try to play.
He's definitely going to try to play.
Curtis is in Ohio. What do you got, Curtis?
I just wanted to shout out Christina Teachout, who won the bronze medal in women's taekwondo in the 67-kilogram weight class. She beat the 29-year-old defending world champ on her way to the bronze medal. She also beat Tokyo's gold medal winner in the same weight class on her way to the bronze medal. She's 18 years old.
Oh, wow.
She's going to be the favorite probably in Los Angeles in 4 years, but I just wanted to shout her out.
Well, that's a great shout out. Can I ask you a question? Because I wondered this. What is the difference between taekwondo and judo? I saw they were two different sports, but they look, they don't, what's the difference?
One's throws based.
Judo is like takedowns and like chokeholds and stuff. Taekwondo is kicking and punching. You score points with kicks and punches.
Okay. Did you see the knockout in Taekwondo, by the way? So this guy hit this dude with like a double kick. Like he like kicked him in the back and then kicked him in the face, knocked his gear or headgear off, and like KO'd him. And as he's on the ground knocked out, the referee is still counting. Like he's out. And the referee's still like doing his 10 count. So a lot of people were talking about that.
Well,
so,
that's good. I've wondered the whole Olympics. Like they look like the same thing to me.
No.
But they're clearly not. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN. We'll get back to the Olympics in a minute. If you have a sport you particularly enjoyed, 888-SAY-ESPN. But I also want to note the NFL. You had your first sort of rounds of preseason games. Some rookie quarterbacks got on the field. Did they make an impression? And does any of it matter to you? I saw Caleb Williams, my Bears guy. I liked what I saw. We'll deal with that and more. It is a final Olympic Sunday here on Sunday Morning with Matt Meyer.
The football season never ends.
We ain't done yet.
Camp to camp.
When you go through the offseason that I've been through, you want to do it again.
Team to team.
Touchdown! When you knock us down, we're going to get up.
Unbelievable!
The Super Bowl is a goal.
I've been away for too long.
The countdown rolls on right here on ESPN Radio. Matt and Myron, the podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Honda. When you test drive the all-electric Prologue SUV, there's a lot that can impress you about it. There's the generous passenger space, the clean, thoughtful design, and the intuitive technology. But out of everything, what you'll really love most is that it's a Honda. Visit Honda.com/EV to see offers.
Traveling to see your fave sports team is cool, but traveling with Amex Platinum for the big game is even better.
Right this way.
With access to dedicated card member entrances at select events, you can skip the line.
And one.
And with access to the Centurion Lounge,
he shoots a three.
You can catch the next game on the way home. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Card member entrance access not limited to Amex Platinum card.
You know, so you said, Myron said that they played this in his high school.
Yeah.
I do like this song. My music.
It's a great song.
Yeah, it is a great. My music hits me music so hard. Right?
So hard.
Makes me say, oh, my Lord.
He's
ESPN
so nice.
Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial, auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com.
Extra, extra. Read all about it. Read all about it.
The Sunday Headlines.
All right, Nick, it's time for some headlines. What do we got?
First off, I don't know what schools you guys were going to because we just had the Pledge of Allegiance and that was it.
Yeah, you're not as patriotic as ours. That's
where, in New York? Like, where'd you go to school, New York?
Yeah, New York, right outside the city.
Yeah, you all.
Did y'all have to sing like the Knicks fight hype song or something where you
were
there?
Sing that Frank Sinatra song.
Yeah, we were all singing New York, New York.
Yeah. All right, what's up?
All right, we'll stick in the Olympics. Yesterday, United States women's took home the gold medal in a 1-0 win over Brazil. Forward Mallory Swanson contributed that one goal for Team USA. It was the first time they won gold in quite some time. 2012 was the last gold medal for the U.S. women's team. Alyssa Nayer, the goalie, had an incredible save in extra time to keep the gold medal hopes alive. And it was their first time winning since 2012, like I mentioned. So, Myron, how do we feel about the U.S. women's team bringing home gold once again?
Huge, man. I mean, they had a lot of dramatic moments in these Olympic Games. They beat Brazil and Marta, right? I think that's like the legendary player on the Brazilian team who's sort of like the Pele on the women's side. But a change of management, I think, has been a big move. And I just love the youth. Like, it feels like the women's team is going to be number one for a long time.
Did you say contributed? Is that how you said that word?
Did I? I don't really hear when I talk.
Yeah, you said contributed.
All right, I don't call out all your flaws when you two talk.
No, but I mean, I just didn't know if that was like a way people said it in New York. Like,
contributed was the word.
I know. I just didn't know if there, because I'd never heard the word contributed before like that.
You know what kind of kid Matt was based on things like that, because he will correct a word and how you say it. And you know he was that third grader who, like, little Tommy had just learned how to read. And Matt was like, that's not how you spell cat. You
know, I will do that. Like, if I get a caller to the thing and they, like, spell something that's wrong, I just tell them. Maybe you shouldn't do that. That's probably why, you know, sometimes.
You dealt with me in precedent. Precedent. Yeah.
Precedent. That's all right. No, but, yes, they contributed a victory, and it's nice to see the women's team back on top. What's next?
All right, we'll stay in the Olympics. U.S. Olympic skateboarder Nyjah Houston, he posted on Instagram calling out the state of his bronze medal. He said only after a few days of wearing it and passing it around with his friends, the medal became worn and looks pretty in rough shape. It's bronze, so it's made of copper and zinc, and I guess he missed chemistry class because that's what bronze does when it's exposed to moisture. If you look at the Statue of Liberty, it's obviously not bronze anymore. So, Matt, what's your thoughts on these statements?
I like how you said that, like everybody would know. Like,
that's
you were like,
common knowledge.
I was like,
I didn't know that.
I have to tell you, I didn't know that. You said that, like, yeah. As everyone knows, when bronze gets wet, it's made of copper and zinc. Duh. Like, I had no idea. So, actually, I learned something there. I thought it did kind of look bad. But now you've given me an explanation. So Myron, I guess if that's what happens when bronze gets wet, then I guess that's what happens, right?
Yeah. It looks like, you know, the periodic table or something, man, in ways that I don't. So I didn't know that. No, I didn't know that.
I did see the picture you're talking about and it did look bad, but I guess that's just what it is. And you might, if it's going to be really bronze, then I guess you get what you get when you get wet.
How much are the medals worth? Does anybody know?
Like no, bronze, but they will replace them if you request. Like, if you have a gold or a silver, they'll, and you say it's, like, in bad shape, they'll give you a new one.
Like, forever?
Like, how does that process work?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
Well, you just call an 800 number, and you're like, hey, I need my third gold medal of the last 6 months.
I love it.
For some reason.
You got to send in the old one, too.
I didn't realize that gold medals were like when I used to buy stuff at Service Merchandise. It's like a lifetime guarantee. I can continue to get it replaced.
It's like a phone. Like, you got, what does it mean? Like, you get a refurbished medal?
The problem is I bought a TV once at Service Merchandise with a lifetime guarantee, but then it went bankrupt, Service Merchandise. Yeah, and so I can't. So it's like, well, I guess that's over now. What's next?
I actually have the answer for you, Myron, on how much they are worth. The silver medal's value is approximately $486.
Okay.
The bronze medal, its value is $13.
What's the gold medal's?
I can't find that one, but it seems like it's
so
high.
So the bronze medal is only worth $13?
Yes.
Oh, well, on the open market, though, I mean, you'd still be able to sell that at some point.
Gold medal's worth $41,000.
A gold medal's worth $41,000?
That can't be right.
This is according to Forbes.
The bronze is worth $13?
Yeah.
That's hard for me to believe.
And the gold is $41,000?
Wait a minute. Are you just looking at the price of gold, silver, and bronze on the commodity market?
This is from Forbes Australia.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
The gold medal is approximately $41,161.50.
And the bronze medal is $13.
$13?
Who's making the bronze medals? My cousin who used to sell me gold chains back in the day.
That's why they replace them.
You can get those for $13.
That's why they replace them.
According to Oxford Economics, a Paris gold medal is worth $1,027.
All right, that's a big discrepancy. $41,000 and $1,000.
That's a huge.
That's
difference.
A huge discrepancy. One of those two sources, I think, is probably off.
I would like somebody's to make an amendment to my previous statement.
Okay.
If it was pure gold, it would
that's
be
what
41,000.
I said. You see, this is you did. You just went and looked at the commodities market of what gold was selling for, and you said it like that's not the same thing.
Here we go. The podium cost of a 2024 Olympic gold medal is $950.
All right, so that's closer to what Mikey said. All right. Well, there you go.
And then bronze is still $13.
Yeah, that one hasn't changed. It's still $13.
So, like, you can basically get a bronze at the mall kiosk down the street from my house.
You get
the
a choice.
Fixes phones.
Myron, when you win a bronze at the Olympics, they're like, we'll either give you this medal or you can have dinner at Five Guys. You get to decide which one you want. And then they give it to you. All right, what's next?
There's a dude in my kiosk at the mall who's like, fixes phones. Sells Tupac shirts and also sells gold chains. Like, that dude is basically making the bronze medals.
He makes the bronze medals. What do you got?
Quickly here, as the closing ceremonies are happening in a few hours, one man didn't want it to end as he was arrested climbing the Eiffel Tower before the closing ceremonies. You can see the picture. He's about right above where the Olympic rings are. and the police got him down, but he was up there for quite a while climbing it before the closing ceremonies.
I will say this, in all, like, that was really crazy. That picture, if you've seen it, is wild. I will say this. If we get through, knock on wood, the closing ceremonies here, and it's all safe, I got to say, it's kind of an amazing accomplishment, Myron, by Paris, to pull this off in a city like that and for it to be like it is, especially when you consider what they tried to do during the opening ceremony. It would be a pretty amazing accomplishment, right?
Yeah, I mean, knock on wood, to your point, we haven't had any incidents that I'm aware of. And I mean, it seems like the entire games have been run very, very well in Paris.
Yeah, I mean, you know, give the Parisians credit. They are extremely rude if you go there, and they will look at you like you are scum for walking in their city. But if they want to put on an Olympics, they have a beautiful set of sights, and they actually, Myron, run it rather efficiently.
Good job, Petty.
Good job, Perry. There you go. Well, thank you for listening. Oh, I got one more hour. Next.
Hey, it's Greeny, and Monday this will be the place to catch up on all the NFL preseason action. Teams getting in the flow of things. The preseason is shorter than ever, so these games matter, even if they don't count. We'll have lots to say. It's Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Thanks for listening to Matt and Myron, the podcast. You can listen to the show live every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. Matt and Myron, the podcast. From ESPN Podcast and Omaha Productions.
Ready? Here we go.
Coach is a new groundbreaking educational football podcast hosted by NFL legends Bill Belichick, Matt Patricia, and Michael Lombardi. In each episode, the coaches break down game-changing situations and front office management tactics, sharing insights from decades of coaching experience and opening up the Bill Belichick Encyclopedia of Football Knowledge. Created by football legends for football fans. New episodes of Coach drop weekly. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.